This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
So I'm sitting here with Ryan Heath. You guys all know Ryan. He's the founder and president of The Gavel Project. He's an awesome young man who is really working on securing our liberties through the legal system. And if you haven't heard my episode with him, you need to go back and listen to that. And then you need to go support The Gavel Project. But Ryan came to me with another case that I find very interesting. And full disclosure, it has to do with my school district and, in fact, the school board that I'm running for. And so I definitely wanted this story to be heard, but I'm going to let Ryan introduce it because he's smarter than I am. So.
Well, I wouldn't take credit for being more intelligent than you for sure, Kira. But I will say that, one, thank you for having me. Again, I'm Ryan. I'm with the Gavel Project. And I am an attorney out of Arizona, licensed there, not actually licensed in California. And so what I do is actually go around and find California attorneys like the individual you're about to meet, Alexander Haberbusch, who is an extremely talented constitutional attorney, to go take on these big issues. And I actually was contacted by a parent back in May about an issue dealing with Black Lives Matter and with the compulsion of speech of her daughter, basically being forced to apologize for saying something completely innocent. And so I want to go ahead and pass it over to Alexander Haberbusch, who is the constitutional attorney from LexRex Institute, who will be handling this matter for our client. And just wanted to give him the floor so he can basically intro the issue and discuss what actually happened here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Go ahead, Alex. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so Chelsea, Ryan, thank you for contacting me on this case. I think this is an egregious deprivation of my client's daughter's constitutional liberties. And we're not going to mention her daughter's name on this podcast because exactly the issue we're dealing with here is that she got a whole lot of unwanted attention for something that should not have gotten any attention. So just to give you guys the facts of what went on, my client's daughter was going to school, at school, decided she was going to draw a picture with one of her friends. For whatever reason, friend ended up taking this picture home. And the picture contained text saying, "Black lives matter, any life matters." I guess the parents of that friend were extremely offended by this picture, and they brought it to the attention of the school principal. It's a man by the name of Jesus Becerra. And, you know, never brought it to Chelsea's attention, never brought it. Chelsea, in fact, didn't even know about this until 2 years after the fact. This happened back in 2020. Chelsea did not learn of it until March of this year. So takes it to Jesus Becerra, and his response is, rather than, you know, question Chelsea about it, ask Chelsea about it, his response is to compel an apology from Chelsea's daughter in front of all of the other kids at this school. So a first grader out at recess is asked to apologize for writing the phrase, "Any life matters," on a picture. This picture was not a school assignment. She drew it of her own prerogative. The friend, you know, we don't even actually know when it was drawn, but the friend came into possession of this picture at some point and asked to apologize for it in front of everybody. For whatever reason, took this responsibility on himself, decided the school was going to get involved here. And like I've said, Chelsea didn't learn about this until actually another friend's parent mentioned it to her 2 years later. So that's sort of what we're dealing with here. It's a compelled speech issue. Obviously, compelled speech is one of the toughest tests that they have to meet if they want to say that this is valid and we can do it. We believe that there is no way that can meet that standard. We think this is an egregious deprivation of her rights, and we believe that, you know, Chelsea should be vindicated on this.
Chelsea, I don't, do you guys want to say the name of the school?
I don't care.
What school is this?
Viejo Elementary in Mission Viejo.
Chelsea, first of all, thank you for agreeing to sit down and tell your story. I know it's very nerve-wracking.
I am. I'm super nervous.
Are you? That's very cute because we're very, like, this is a low-key podcast. All of my listeners know, but I'm a mom like you. And this, and Ryan brought this story to me because he knows that this is really on my heart. I think one of the things for me that got me really involved in education and running for school board and just really involved in what's going on with our education is this, the Black Lives Matter CRT thing. My listeners know that that has really perked me up in the last couple of years because as a Black mother, I recognize discrimination when I see it. And what we see with CRT and all of its outcroppings, the way that it's being applied in our schools, under our noses, without our permission, it's enraging, you know?
Well, and that's the egregious part of this, is Chelsea had actually asked the school district about whether or not they were teaching CRT or Black Lives Matter or any of this stuff prior to the whole incident. And she was told by school administration, no, we are not teaching this at your daughter's grade level. I don't know if they were not teaching it in general, but certainly not to her daughter's class.
Sure.
Nevertheless, she later learned that every single day when her daughter would log into a portal on the computers, she'd be confronted with an image of Black Lives Matter protesters. Every single day.
And this is the line they give us. We're not teaching it because you can't go to a curriculum and see critical race theory and then look, that's not how it works. It's in training, it's in things like this. So Chelsea, just to circle back to you and how you found out. Now, mm-hmm. Alex said you found out through a friend that told you this. What was your immediate reaction?
It was a mutual friend. My immediate reaction is just, I felt like I got hit by a bus, but I didn't understand it. I'm white, I grew up in California. I personally have not dealt with racism against me. I've seen it against my friends, but I didn't know what it had felt like. And I felt, oh, you know, my daughter's just been discriminated against. She's had, and I didn't even, I the last thing I wanted to do was contact a lawyer, but I just didn't know what had happened to us. And I had to have it explained to me. And it felt like I got hit by a bus. And then when I talked to my daughter, just the thing she said, it was so sad. And I said, well, you know, what did the principal say to you? And I can't draw pictures anymore. And I can't write those words. And I said, well, you know, why did you write them? Because I don't teach Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, anything in my house, because I think my children are too young. My children see color as a color. It's a description. My children have never been racist. I am trying to raise them the way the world should be and not the way it is. That's how I'm trying to make my personal change. And she didn't understand where her best friend is brown, and she didn't understand, not black, but brown, why she didn't matter, why her friend didn't matter, why some of her other, she's got another friend that's Japanese, she doesn't understand, she doesn't get it. And so it wasn't, and it said any life. It didn't say any life matters. It was something she came up on her own. She just didn't understand it. It was completely innocent. And
we
that broke my heart.
We don't want the school to be the one teaching her about this stuff either. It's
outside the school's purview.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to teach my kids to be good humans. And I don't think I should have the school tell me how to do that. I haven't had my opportunity. My children are young. Give me the opportunity to make a world a better place by teaching my children to do right by everybody.
And what is the lesson that your daughter learned by writing this innocent phrase, right? That said, like, oh, I want to include all my friends. Like, all my friends matter. I matter. Black lives matter. And all my friends matter. And the lesson is that, no, they don't. That's ironically, you are saying, I want to teach this lesson that all lives matter. Everyone matters. You treat everyone with the same dignity, and you, that starts early, but my goodness, you don't master it at 6-7 years old. It's a work in progress. And yet it's the school claiming that your daughter did something wrong. They're the ones actually who ruined that lesson, who made the lesson about, no, all lives don't matter.
And it would be one thing if the school were to say, look, you can't draw pictures anymore that say any life matters on it. I think that would still be a deprivation of our liberties. We would probably still try to file suit over that.
But they did.
That's not all that happened here, though. They didn't just say, stop drawing this in the future. They said, you have to apologize for doing it in the past. Even though they admit this was not part of their curriculum, they admit she was taught nothing about the Black Lives Matter phenomenon or concept or movement. No reason why she should have known this would be offensive to anybody. She was nevertheless told she had to apologize for expressing this opinion.
Chelsea, what did they ask your daughter to say?
So I went back. They asked her to apologize. It was so funny because I went to my daughter. I said, did you ever draw a picture that you got in trouble by the principal from? And she says, yes. And I said, what happened? And she told me what the picture was. I hadn't seen it yet. And she goes, well, there were four different girls, all different colors. And it said Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. I don't remember exactly, but this is prior to me seeing the picture. I said, okay. And then I just asked her, I'm like, why? And then that's when she told me, she goes, well, I don't understand. I see it every day. I just don't understand.
So she was really confused. She didn't even know why she was apologizing, really. And did she tell you that she felt embarrassed, or did she tell you like how it made her feel to have to do that?
At first she didn't, because she didn't tell me what happened when it happened, because, well, she got punished. It wasn't just, you have to say that she had recesses taken away from her, which when you're in first grade, that's a huge deal to sit and be benched and watch all your friends play and not understand.
And all of them see you sitting there too.
Yeah.
You know, all of this, she was subject to public humiliation throughout the entire
thing. Absolutely.
There's no, even if, you know, I think it still would have been totally uncalled for the school to approach her about this at all, make her apologize for it at all. They could have done it in private. They could have called her into the principal's office, talked to her in private. That's not what they did. They did it at recess while there were 150 kids present on the playground. You know, she remembers at least 20 or 30 of these kids were actually watching it as it was happening. And that nevertheless didn't seem to deter the behavior of Mr. Becerra, who apparently saw fit to make her apologize anyway. But that's not appropriate for a school administrator to be doing.
No.
The only possible goal there is humiliating the student.
Oh, Chelsea, if it was me, I would have lost my damn mind if I had heard that, because all I could think about when Ryan was describing this case to me was like the fire in my bosom that I would have felt to imagine. Now I'm going to get a little emotional. To imagine that my child was humiliated for something, that for expressing a kindness. I know that feeling, and that's the feeling that it brought up for me when Ryan was saying that. This idea that this child is not a part of this.
No.
She hasn't done anything wrong.
If you look at the picture she drew, the actual picture part of it, it's different, like, ovals of a bunch of different colors. You know, it's different shades of brown and black and white. You know, clearly it's about people getting along.
Right. Right. And so, Chelsea, when you...
But apparently, you know, you and I are better artistic interpreters than these school administrators. They couldn't figure that much out.
It's so innocent once you see it. And I'll pull it up on my phone. But my daughter's also severely ADHD. Mm. And art is her outlet. Art is her absolute outlet. And that day, the principal said, you cannot draw your friends' pictures anymore at school. You cannot draw pictures anymore. And we didn't understand for why months she wasn't drawing, because it's her outlet. And so finally we said, and we're like, girlfriend, as soon as we found out, we're like, girlfriend, is this why you're not drawing? And she goes, well, yeah. And I said, you do whatever you want. I'm going to get you more pens and paint and colors, and I'll send you to school with more markers. And then you draw whatever you want. And if somebody has a problem, you come to me. Because I will fight your battle for you. Because this is, it's unfair. She still doesn't understand it. She doesn't get it. I don't want her to know what a big deal it was and what she actually had taken away from her. Well, I just want to give it back.
Even without the compelled speech, the fact that they were taking away something that has a direct therapeutic effect for her daughter, they would take that away without even consulting the parent. It's beyond...
It actually gets more outrageous the more you talk. But I just want to describe this picture I'm looking at for the listeners. It is a white sheet of paper, and at the top, written in cute little elementary school handwriting.
Misspelled.
Black Lives Matter, M-A-T-E-R. Black Lives Matter. And then underneath it, in smaller letters, it says any life. And underneath that, there's a picture of four things. It's barely people.
Yes.
You know.
But that's how she described it to me, is that there are four girls.
Four girls, right. For her, she knew what she was driving.
Exactly.
My point is that There's nothing offensive about this picture. No, no. It's basically four circles that represent humans, and they're kind of different colors. So she chose her colors, you know, like one's darker, one's brown, one's orange.
I think it's better artistic expression than half the stuff you see in the modern art galleries.
I actually think it is good modern art. It's just completely innocuous.
It's very accepting. It's about people getting along despite the differences in skin color. To me, it communicates a very clear message about that.
I can't even believe that any teacher would look at that, let alone a principal, and say this is offensive. So how did this picture get to the principal for him to even do this in the first place?
That was because of the friend. So the daughter had given it to her friend. The friend took it home to her parents, and her parents apparently they didn't like something about the picture that raised a concern for them. And they did not know if she had been asked to make this in class, if the assignment said write any life matters on it. They had no idea. So they took that to the principal. Now, should they have taken it to Chelsea as well? I think they probably should have, but our gripe is not really with them. Our gripe is with the principal and how he responded to the fact that these parents brought the picture to him. He didn't even mention anything to Chelsea. He just took the matter entirely into his own hands, decided the picture was inappropriate despite the fact that its interpretation was very obvious, as we've just been talking about, and I don't think there's anything objectionable in it unless you fundamentally dislike people getting along from different races, which, you know, maybe the guy does. I don't know him. Maybe that is his opinion. But he decided he was going to take it into his own hands and then chastise and punish Chelsea's daughter for what she'd done.
And so, Chelsea, when you finally found this out, what did you do? Did you call the teacher? Did you call the principal? Did you track down the parent? What was your first move when you figured that this was happening?
You know that you said you had the fire in your bosom. So I get it in my stomach and I feel physically ill. But I wrote a very, very angry email to the principal and then copied like anybody whose emails I had all over the district and several different superintendents at the district. And it was just angry. I mean, I didn't say anything wrong. It just... You know, when somebody texts you, they're angry and they put it all in caps. That's kind of how what I felt like. It wasn't well thought out. I just sat there and pounded on the keyboard.
It's what any parent would do in the situation. And I want to pause the story right here because, you know, it's developed so far to this point. Something inappropriate happened at school, very inappropriate. And then obviously Chelsea got angry, sent an email to the school district informing them that she was upset over what happened. How do you think the school district responded?
I'm going to say that the school district was very concerned for Chelsea and really thought that they could help her and realized that they serve the parents and they serve the community. They don't serve the school district or big government. And they probably made every effort to make Chelsea feel comfortable and welcome in bringing her complaints. That's what I'm going to guess.
Well, you know, you must live in a much better world than the one that we're in, because that is not at all what happened. You'd think it would be, right? Like, I mean, I think most of us have enough experience to know that's not how it goes. But in a reasonable world, that's exactly what happened, right? You'd see that a parent was concerned about something and you would respond to that concern by asking, you know, how can we help? What do we do? What's the situation? No, their response was to blatantly and intentionally misconstrue what Chelsea had said. Their response was to use her words cherry-picked against her in future instances. It was to say that none of her claims were true. They denied every single claim that she made. And, you know, to their credit, they did appoint somebody to investigate what had happened. They found, you know, some really top men to do it. Best man for the job and do the investigation, really. Jesus Becerra.
Wow.
He gets to investigate himself, which, believe it or not, is an all too common problem in these school districts. I believe there's actually a policy in place saying that if a school administrator is accused of something, he conducts his own investigation. You know, I can't think of anybody in that school district worse to investigate a claim of wrongdoing than the person who's accused of the wrongdoing.
Chelsea, did you contact your school board member?
I did. Well, I actually didn't even contact mine, not my area. Gila Jones.
Okay.
She was awesome. She tried to help. She is... I mean, I don't even want to bring politics into it, but pretty much on the opposite side of politics than I am. But she was...
This is not a political issue.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Not at all.
But she was so helpful. She tried, and it just... She would send me little emails every once in a while, like, how are you doing? Are you doing all right? And I felt like she was the only one that thought about myself and my daughter, but she couldn't do anything about it. The only people that could do it were the people getting paid that work at the district, and they didn't. And I don't...
Well, that's... I don't want to say anything bad about this particular school board member, but what school boards, I think, don't understand a lot of the time, because people like superintendents are there every single day. Superintendents, just as a matter of course, tend to accumulate more power, and they tend to present it as though they have powers they don't necessarily have, when that power actually is in the hands of the school board. School board members half the time don't even know that. Like, I was dealing with one school district, I won't say which one, where we were opposing some of the COVID-19 mandates, specifically the masking mandates. And I talked to school board members there. They say, we've been told we can't even consult with the school's attorneys. Only the superintendent can do that. That's a lie. That's just flat out not true. They're telling you that because they don't want you to have any voice in what happens in this school district.
I did get told that.
You got told that the school board can't. This isn't their purview, or this
yes.
is, yeah, and that they're powerless.
This is Darvio Kingpin Morrow, co-host of the Outlaws Radio Show. And if you haven't heard our show before, check out this clip.
JD Vance. One of the things I think we have to do on the Republican side, because we've got the white working class, and I think we've got them solid, is start to attract, you know, the Black and I guess now the Latino working class into our coalition, because I think if we do that and we serve those voters well, I mean, we could become the majority party in this country for a generation if we actually see the opportunity. And you know, what I tell a lot of my friends, you know, who are a little older than I am, I'm 37 years old, a lot of them say, well, you know, we really want to get back to the country club set in the Republican Party. And I say, look, at the end of the day, like, we're going to be a stronger party if we accept that the country club set maybe is never coming back, but we acquire some of those Black and Hispanic working class voters into our coalition. Like, let the country club set go, you know, let them use their preferred pronouns and obsess about racial issues and gender issues, because they're all crazy. And I think that this is something that actually unites a lot of working class white and Black folks, is we just want to live in a country where we don't have to obsessively worry about everything that we say.
Subscribe to the Outlaws Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's OUTLAWS, the Outlaws Radio Show, an FCB radio podcast.
I want to reiterate what Alex just said. This is really important. Parents need to know this. The district works for you. The district yes. works for the school board. It's not the other way around. So we literally don't have to accept anything that happens at our school board meetings, or we don't have to accept anything, because the school board is built supposedly to be where the power lies, because that's the community. So thank you for making that point. And I'm glad that you, thank you for mentioning Ms. Jones and how helpful she was. And I'm sorry that, you know, that the rest of the school board wasn't as responsive. But when you realize that wasn't going to be helpful, and you sent your angry emails in all caps, and you've done that, then what did you do? I mean, did you just feel so helpless?
I did, but this is the funny thing. This is the really, and I knew after talking with my daughter, I knew she was telling the truth. Her story didn't waver. And the funny thing was, is I kept on going over and over and over after my super angry all caps email. Within 24 hours, nobody had gotten back to me from when I found out. So I sent another email, a lot more well thought out, took my time, and I said, listen, this is what I want. I want a formal apology to me. I want a formal apology to my daughter. And I want a formal apology to this other family, because they didn't know that you guys didn't contact me. And you've made it very uncomfortable for a lot of the parents and the students at school, unbeknownst to me. And that's all I want. And then, I don't know, how do I say this? They came back and they just...
They're about the same as the first time around. They've essentially told you that you can take a hike, and that what you're saying is not true. And... they would not listen. And I want to be really clear about this. Chelsea is not the sort of person who would call a lawyer right away. She said that earlier. She did not call Ryan and she did not call my office, the Lex Rex Institute, because she was trying to make a buck. In fact, Lex Rex Institute will not take clients who are only out to make a buck. What she wanted from the school was an apology. She wanted them to acknowledge they had done wrong and say it, you know, apologize to her daughter and apologize to her for what they had done. That's it. She wasn't asking for gobs and gobs of money from them. She wasn't asking for a dime from them. So when my firm gets involved, you know, occasionally we will make claims for damages. We will bring suits that are for damages, but primarily what we want is a judicial determination and recognition that wrongdoing occurred so that it won't happen again. Because nobody should be treated this way.
Let me get this straight. Your daughter had to apologize in front of the whole school after losing recess privileges, had to apologize for a very sweet picture that included all of her friends of all different colors because it didn't say the right thing. All you've asked for is an apology from not even from everybody and not even standing on the playground in front of everybody, just a formal apology from the principal and the people involved. That's all you've asked for, and they've just shut you up.
Not even a formal apology from the other people involved. I asked for a formal apology for myself and my daughter, or our family, and for the other family, because they never knew that the principal didn't bring it to us.
And so, do you know the family? Did that cause tension between you?
That
is a real shame. That is a real shame. And it's not been able to get back on track.
I don't think it will. I think it's beyond because I don't know if they know what really happened.
And they're going to assume if they were not there, they're going to assume the school acted reasonably. Because most people, you know, people that don't listen to your podcast necessarily think that schools are organizations that largely act reasonably.
Well, we're going to get this story out there so that people in our school district know that this is going on, because I don't think that this is exclusive to your child. I'm sure there are other examples. I mean, if I know Ryan, he's already hunting down a lot of stuff. But I mean, it's not just or even this issue. The bigger, broader issue is parental authority and you having the right to know that your daughter, even if you didn't agree, even if you were going to be pit against the principal or whatever, at least they had the obligation to notify you. If she had pulled another girl's pigtails on the playground and got benched for that, you would have had a note. They would have sent a note home.
I'm not entirely sure.
There are a lot of ways they could have done this differently that still would have been egregious, still would have been totally unacceptable, but would not have been half as bad as what they did. It's really, they added insult to injury and then compounded. Is the only way we can put it.
I think that is the most injurious thing here. And that's why this case is going to be so important, not just to parents in our district, but I think across the country, because there are a lot of parents right now listening right now going, what don't I know?
Well, that's really what this comes down to, I think, is that people are not aware of what their rights are. They are not aware of what is going on in their school districts. And you mean, God bless you for your podcast because you're informing them of what's going on. Lex Rex Institute's trying to do that as well. We're a constitutional advocacy organization. If you don't know what your rights are, seriously, I mean, we put out podcasts as well. You can look it up, Lex Rex Institute podcast. But know your rights because it's the only way you're going to defend them. It's the only way we're going to keep our
rights. Chelsea, did you know you had any rights here? Did you suspect you had some rights?
No. So that was why I contacted lawyers. And I started with, it was very hard. I just feel like when you research things online and I'm Googling things, trying to figure out who to talk to, who to get answers from for help, I just felt like this is wrong. This is fundamentally wrong. I don't know what happened. I don't know what my rights are regarding this. And so I started looking up civil rights attorneys and I started looking everywhere and trying to figure it out. And then I would contact like different companies like the Gabel Project, Ryan's company, the Gabel Project, or charity, the Gabel Project. And I started looking up cases that had happened in California and trying to figure it out. And that's where I started looking. And then when I started doing that, they put the feelers out and I had attorneys from all over the country calling me. I had one fly out from New York. I was lucky enough to, through a friend, to have met Ryan, and he is a big presence. He's very vocal. And I was like, all right, that's it. I just want you and I want the Gavel Project. And he puts a lot of heart and soul in it.
Oh, Ryan is a spitfire. I think I introduced Ryan to everybody as this is one of the most passionate young men you'll ever meet in your life. But yeah, he makes you believe in the law.
Yes. And he's, it's just, it's not, even if something he doesn't agree with, he's not going to take that away from somebody. He's not going to judge somebody for it. And I've even said when I first talked to Alexander and he put me in touch with Alexander, I said to you, Alexander, is that like, I went with Ryan because he was so passionate. I have his cell phone. I'm like, I'm not going to abuse it because I want him to keep helping people. Like, I'll text him when I need to.
Because Ryan, I'll let you abuse him too.
Yeah, but I don't want to abuse him because I want him to continue doing that to his clients. Yeah. And having the, he's a real person. He's not a, you know, a machine. Mm-hmm. And you too, Alexander. I'm not saying that, but I just, you can.
I can testify that both these men are real. I'm sitting here in the conference room with them.
Yes.
Right now.
I think I could pass a turning.
But just, yeah, very passionate, family man, wants to make it right, not just for my children, but for his children. And that was part of the reason I decided to continue and go ahead with this, is because I know it's happening. The same things are happening at our school. I know for a fact from other families, and they won't fight. And I'm so lucky my husband's not here right now, but I'm so lucky because I could not do this if I was a single mom, like my mom raising me. I have my husband behind me and we're strong. We've been together for like 25 years. And I'm just so lucky, but not everybody has that.
Didn't it feel lonely at first? Like when you were, I think about how when you were first sending the angry emails and even going back and forth with your different school board members, didn't it just feel like I'm just by myself? Who's going to understand this?
I did. And I don't want to cry, but I just sobbed. And I sobbed my eyes out. We just got to make this a better place for our kids. And I didn't want to reach an attorney. I didn't want to make a big stink, but, and my husband and I talked about it. And he just held me and I'm just like, I can't. My kids are going to look back at this and they're going to know. They might not know about it now because they're so young, but they're sure as heck going to know about it when we're older. And I want them to know that their mom fought for them and their dad fought for them. And we're trying to make it better for everybody. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm crying.
I know. I'm trying to pretend. I'm sitting here pretending like I'm not crying too, but this is the heart and soul of the Mama Bear movement.
It is. It's a Mama Bear movement.
It's women, moms supported by great men, dads, dads like Ryan. Alex, are you a dad?
I'm not.
Then you don't count.
I'm married to my business at this point. So. Okay.
But it is a movement of moms whose hearts have been really broken by everything, not just this, but everything that we've been through with our kids for the last couple of years and what we've seen. And I just want to tell you that as a mom, as a Black mom raising Black kids, like, I appreciate you. I want your kid loving my kid.
I know? Want it too.
Yeah. And I don't want to live in this era of bitterness where we're all dividing each other by the skins that we happen to be born into. And culture is culture. And we should respect that. And I'm always one, people who listen to this podcast say, I'm always one who's like, oh, you don't need to be colorblind because that's culture. It's okay to recognize that. Right. But
diversity is the great thing about our country.
The best thing.
Yeah,
it breaks my heart to live in a place that is so as privileged as where we live in Orange County, where we have access to so much, so many blessings and so much good things. And then to know that we're creating this atmosphere of bitterness for our kids. I'm glad to know as a Black mother that there are white moms out there like you who are going, no, I'm going to stand up for I would stand up for this the same way I would stand up if it was like the opposite. If it was a Black child or a Japanese child, I would stand up the same. And I what I really hope the listeners see is that Chelsea doesn't have to be the only one. You don't have to be alone, but you will. You are a trailblazer.
Yeah. When women like Chelsea, people like Chelsea are rare. Most people will not stand on principle. When push comes to shove and their comfort gets in the way, and one of them has to give, whether it's principle or comfort, principle is usually the one that gives. People like Ryan, people like the Lex Rex Institute exist so that you have a support network. You don't have to feel alone if something like this happens to you or your child. You know, I know Ryan doesn't take payments from clients. We don't take payments from most of our clients. We try to do this for free because we want to make sure people are able to defend their constitutional rights. And we can, if we do that, if people actually do stand up for what their rights are, we don't have to live in the future that people who are teaching critical race theory and administrators, all the administrators at these schools are envisioning for us. We can live in a future in which people are accepted that works the way that we've just been talking about. But we need to defend those rights to do it.
What is the principal and the school administrators, are they still denying that this was an incident? Do they know that you've procured a legal representation yet?
We have not formally sent any letter or any complaint to them since Chelsea has retained my firm. I assume someone's going to mention this podcast to them, since I'm pretty sure you have a lot of listeners in that area.
Well, we're recording on June 24th, 2022.
We don't shy away from that, obviously. At this point, we think they're asking for a fight because they will not concede any of Chelsea's points without some kind of representation behind.
There's nothing. They haven't given on anything. I mean, all I wanted at first was the apology. Then it continued and I said, these things that you said I've written and you're taking direct quotes from me, I have not written those things. I don't know where you got this from. And I said, listen, we can make it all go away, but I want the apology. I'm not going to waver from that. And I said, I want you to change the system. And I don't think if a parent makes a complaint against a principal at a school, that principal gets to run the investigation himself.
It's totally absurd that they would even suggest that as an option. Shows that they aren't taking the complaint seriously. Because you're never going to find wrongdoing on yourself. You're going to say, I acted properly, especially if you're the a bad actor, a nefarious sort of guy that was doing it for bad motives. Especially you're going
to
say that.
Can I ask, are you able to say what some of the statements they are claiming you've made that you claim you did not make?
We're not going to get into too much of that today because we don't want to play our hand for our case necessarily. Although I liked what you said earlier, Kira. Maybe we will ask as part of our injunctive relief that he go out on the playground and apologize in front of all the kids. That's not a bad idea.
And all the parents. And all the parents. I want the parents to know that how I've been treated now. Because at first it was just an apology to me. Now I'm done. I'm done. I'm toast. I was so glad when summer started, I get to take a break. I was volunteering so much while working full time and running my own company. And I feel like I'm taking a break. And I hope in some way, this might sound terrible, that the principal thinks, oh goodness, this summer came. I needed it. I needed a break from the push that I was giving him. And this podcast comes out and he goes, oh, she's not dropping it. I'm serious. I don't want this to happen to my kids. I don't want it to happen to your kids. I don't want it to happen to Ryan's, little girls. And
so many of these school administrators are, and I don't know a kinder way to put this, are petty tyrants. They're used to having a great deal of power over these kids, and they're used to it not being questioned. When it is questioned, they're used to getting their way anyway, because most people don't pursue legal action. We have to remind these people that they are ultimately servants of the people. They work for us. Not the other way around. They work for our kids, not the other way around. And it is totally inappropriate for them to act high and mighty like they do. So that's what we're going to try to accomplish here.
Just really, really quickly on that note, this is Ryan jumping back in. I just want to say, I mean, there's a reason that you call them school board trustees. It's because you're entrusting them with the health and safety of your children, with the well-being of your children. And the fact is, the employees working for the districts work for you because they work for the trustees. They work for the board. They are employed by the people for the people.
Right.
And it's important for us to remind them of that. And that's why the Gavel Project exists. It's one of the main reasons to push back on issues like this.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not just me. It's the Lex Rex Institute. There are a few others as well. But if you know
about—
Not very many of us. If you hear about these organizations and you want to support them, just know that we are both nonprofit organizations. We're both charities. You can actually give donations on our websites, thegavelproject.com and lexrex.org. If you're interested in supporting this case in particular, you can donate on thegavelproject.com. We do have tax deductible donations. And Alexander's firm as well, the Lex Rex Institute, is also a nonprofit and they can accept tax deductible donations. So in order to
That's how we keep our cases free.
Exactly.
That's the only way we can do it.
Yeah.
Literally every dime that you give to us is a dime that goes directly to the representation of our clients.
Exactly. And you know, I haven't been paid since I quit my job in October. I haven't made a dime yet.
I haven't been paid since January. So there we go.
Yeah. And when you're doing this type of work, it's straining and stressful. So if there is anyone out there that's listening to this message and can give, I'd be really greatly appreciated. We are paying the attorney's fees on this case at the Gavel Project. So you can give
that,
right,
Ryan.
There. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
We're happy to hire Alexander. He's one of the best around. And
no, thank you too for me a lot. I mean, and they spare a lot of time for me.
Yeah,
this is important.
It's not spare time. This is what we do.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
this is really important.
They give me so much time, both Ryan and Alexander. They give me so much of their time.
It's heartening. It's really heartening because I know that this is one of the reasons why I'm getting involved, right? Because parents are not represented. We have not been represented for a while, and we have acquiesced a lot of power to school administrators and to our school boards, not because we're dumb, but because we're busy, we're raising our kids, we have a life, and we looked away. And then like Alex said, you know, oh, well, some of these people are petty tyrants. They're glorified parking meter maids, really. This is a one little piece of power.
Oh, don't tell them
that. Some of them, I tell them that all the time.
They'll really get harassing and retaliatory.
Well, you know what? But guess what? It's a new day. It's a new day. And these people woke up, mama bears, not just with this incident, but with what's been going on. And now they're going to have to face the reality of they thought they were going to keep, that this was the path we were going to be on forever. And times have changed. Chelsea, is your daughter going to attend this school in the fall?
Yeah, she is. We all face things growing up in our life, and I'm not going to teach my children to run away.
I like that.
And she doesn't know what's going on. And I may be now known as the parent that causes problems for the district at the school, but I don't care. I'm also one of five parents that give 300 plus hours a year to volunteer at the school. This year I did the entire year with myself.
Yeah, that's important to keep in mind is Chelsea is not a troublemaker parent. She's an involved parent.
Say that again.
She is.
Say that again.
Yeah, she is an involved parent, not a troublemaking one. Long before she was complaining about anything the school was doing to her daughter, she was giving of her time to volunteer to help the school in what it was accomplishing. Only when what the school was doing became a problem did she start complaining. And that's when you should complain.
Prior to COVID, for 3 years, I volunteer taught with one of the teachers at school 2 classes a week for the underprivileged children at school, so they had an after-school anything. We did Lego club and then we did a STEM club, and it was really fun and involved, and I got really into it. Even like getting donations from the community to make sure these kids have toys. And those are just the kids at our school. I know these children. I know what a lot of their parents go through, but they're just such good kids, and they can't fight for their children the way I'm fighting for my daughter, but I'm fighting for my daughter for their children.
And the way the law works is case by case. You don't solve mass cultural issues with a lawsuit. What you do is you solve them for one person, and then our system has precedent, where that precedent now affects every other kid that's treated this way. And we have a ruling where you say you can't treat the kid that way anymore. So Chelsea's not just fighting for her daughter. Her case is fighting for everyone's kids.
So what comes next, legally speaking, for this project?
Well, we need to decide whether or not we are going to be claiming damages in addition to asking for the apology and a ruling saying they can't do this anymore. That changes sort of the time frame that we're looking at. But the next step really is going to be a lawsuit against the school district, and they will have to respond to that. They have no choice.
Chelsea, what do you want to say to the people out there who are listening to this, who they might be experiencing something similar, or they might just be shocked to hear that you have experienced this and shocked to hear the pain? What do you want to leave my listeners with?
Okay. At first, when I decided to, I went to attorneys for help. I did, like when you asked me if I was alone, I felt totally alone. And then what I started to find out, and I did, I talked to people. I started to, and I usually keep these things under my hat, but if they were curious, I would tell them and what was going on. And what I started to find out was I have a quiet riot of parents behind me, like parents that are just pulling for me. Very similar things have happened to them, but they're like, I just couldn't do it. And then I feel like they've given me more confidence. I do have that quiet riot behind me, and these issues are happening, but I'm hoping to make it easier for parents to stand up and say something. That's what I want for this as well. I don't want them to feel alone and lonely like me. But it's happening to a lot more people than we think.
There are a lot of people out there who agree with us who aren't saying anything.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think we're the silent majority, but silent no longer. Chelsea, thank you so much for being so brave, for telling your story. We wish you the best. JLTY listeners, you have the information from Ryan and from Alexander. Alexander, what's the LexRex website again?
Yeah, so it's lexrex.org. That's LexRex.org. It's actually Latin for "the law is king."
Oh, I thought it was just cool because it rhymes.
No, I mean, that's just an added benefit. But because the law is our only king, you know, Principal Becerra's not king of the students. Gavin Newsom's not king of California. Joe Biden's not king of America. The law is king over all those people. And we, the people, are responsible for administering that. So we try to uphold the rights of we, the people, to defend our constitutional liberties and empower them to be able to understand what their rights are and defend them in court.
So I know a lot of you out there are saying, what can I do? And I know you don't want to, a lot of you don't want to give money to politicians. I get that. I don't even like giving money to politicians. But there are other ways to support this cultural wave that is happening. So you've got two great organizations
know
to donate to. Know your rights. That's going to be key to pulling back
this power.
That is our, power.
Even more than defending our clients, that's the number one objective of the LexRex Institute. We want to make sure that our listeners and our viewers know their rights so that they're empowered to defend them down the road, whether they go forward with us or with somebody else. So we've got a podcast, LexRex Institute podcast. We've got tons of educational videos online. Know your rights.
So Alexander, maybe me and you should get back together sometime and I should do a podcast with you just about parental rights. I'm very serious.
I would love that.
I'm very passionate about parents knowing their rights. Well, again, thank you guys. And if there's anything I can do to help in the future, please feel free to contact me. I'll be praying for you, Chelsea. And thanks. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
I pray the Lord my soul today. That we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't go stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today. That we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't go stay, it's gonna be okay.
The FCB Radio Network. First class broadcasting worldwide.